You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rude, and I'd like to welcome State Representative Tony Juergens to the studio for the segment. How's it going today, Tony?
It's going well, Mike. Thanks for having me back in here. You know, with the governor's recent announcement, it's good to get the verification that the news media is essential to our business in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes, it is. COVID-19 is probably going to be the topic for a while going forward here. You know, we have the shelter in place here and the safer at home across the border in Wisconsin. What kind of updates can you bring for us regarding that from the state legislature?
Well, first of all, it's interesting you mentioned the Safer at Home initiative in Wisconsin. One of the things that I have worked on in recent days, and now with Minnesota doing the shelter at home or stay at home, it's not as big of a deal. It's kind of a moot point now. But initially, I had some business owners in the Hastings area that got a hold of me because they have employees that live in Wisconsin. And so they were wondering how that was going to work, if their employees from Wisconsin could still come into Minnesota to work. And again, as things are now, it's a moot point because Minnesota is in the same stage that Wisconsin is. But I did reach out and talk to Assemblyman Warren Petrick from just across the river. He's the representative or assemblyman for the Prescott area over to Eau Claire and a big chunk of that part of Wisconsin. So he and I had a nice conversation a couple of days ago, and it's good to have that contact for both of us in case there are issues that where we need to work together or consult with each other. But again, now that Minnesota has the stay-at-home initiative, it's not really as much of an issue as it was, but they're wondering if employees could actually come into work and what we got. And he actually had reached out to Wisconsin Governor Evers' office to get clarification, but determined that as long as the employees were deemed essential, that even if they lived in Wisconsin, they could travel to Minnesota and back home again.
And I'm sure it went the other way, too. Well, Minnesota didn't have the order in place, that there are plenty of local residents that work across the border in Wisconsin. It must have worked the same way.
Yeah, yep, it worked basically the same way, regardless of which way you were going, to if you were living in Minnesota and working in Wisconsin or the other way around.
All right, and I understand that the legislature did go up to the Capitol or did meet, I'm not sure, maybe at the Capitol, but by teleconference, however that worked, to deliberate a measure for relief for residents of Minnesota. Tell me a little bit about that.
We did. On Thursday, we did have a session at the Capitol. Many, many safety precautions were taken, but all were invited to be at the Capitol. A few stayed home because they either had health compromises or somebody that they live with might be compromised from a health standpoint, and they didn't want to be exposed unnecessarily. But most of the legislators, I think it was all of the senators and almost all of the state representatives were there. Now, the way we did it in the House was they had, and the chief clerk and the sergeant at arms worked through around the clock to get these procedures in place. But in order to maintain social distancing, only about half of the representatives were sitting on the House floor. Some, like myself, was fortunate, was in the chair I normally am in, but others were scattered into different seats just to keep that distancing. Mm-hmm. We had representatives up in the gallery and several out in the rotunda just on folding chairs. And so it was an interesting process. So if you were not in the chamber where you could actually push your button and vote, then you would come in one at a time and they would call your name and you would, you know, put a thumbs up or a thumbs down and say, you know, aye for yes or nay for no,
sure,
depending on how they were voting. So the deliberations took a little bit longer to go through the process. It wasn't done during through a teleconference or anything like that, though. But we did pass House rules that said we were allowed to do that in the future if it becomes necessary. So just sort of as a precaution, depending on how this whole the response to the coronavirus goes, if we do need to get together when it's not safe to even do it the way we did this week,
right.
There are provisions in place where we could still pass legislation if needed in doing it remotely, which is not, of course, normally the way it's done.
Right. It's kind of amazing to look and watch how the coronavirus outbreak really is going to affect the way we do things moving forward, kind of like the world changed on September 12th of 2001. We're not looking at a situation where thousands of people died instantly, but we are looking at a situation that has similar impacts moving forward, and it's going to change basically how we do business.
Yeah, it'll change us going forward. It'll be a new normal. Right now, of course, we have the extra precautions in place. At some point, we expect we'll get back to somewhat of a normal lifestyle, but it'll be forever changed, I think, just like you said, like it did after September 11th. And I expect that the same is going to happen after this. Even now, of course, we all have a lot more time at home because of this, and you watch TV shows, and you notice when people are in close proximity, if they're shaking hands, and you think, oh, you know, we have right. to be careful. You know, I've come in here now, and I don't even shake your hand because of that. It's really hard for a politician, I will tell you that, because so accustomed to just, you know, to greeting people and shaking hands, and to just put your hands in your pocket and not do that is a difficult thing for a politician. But we're all learning, again, what is considered a new normal.
Exactly. Getting back to the session you had on Thursday, what are some of the details of what came out of that session?
One of the details that impacts people locally, and some people that I have worked with, some of the business owners here locally, is some grant funding for child care. So if a child mm-hmm. care center or an licensed in-home daycare center is providing health or daycare for children whose parents are deemed essential employees, that there are some grant funds available. And so they can apply for those funds. And the essential employee is interesting because about 78% of Minnesota jobs are considered essential through this. So it is pretty broad is what right. is considered an essential employee, which is good. I mean, we talked about this last week, but you still have to have trash collectors. You still have to have law mm-hmm. enforcement. You still have to have, you know, the obvious ones, the first responders and healthcare and doctors and nurses and so forth. But there are other things that you don't think of. And so we got to keep those businesses going as well. And so if you're a daycare center and you're expanding your hours to accommodate the first responders' kids, for example, that there's some grant dollars that are available to you. We also included in the bill some leeway if you are licensed by the Department of Commerce. So, for example, I'm an insurance agent. There were about 3,400 insurance agents who were scheduled to renew their license mm-hmm. at the end of May,
yep.
or rather the end of March. This gives them an extension because they might not be able to get the necessary continuing education hours in before the end of the month. So it's giving an extension for them and anybody else that's licensed by the Department of Commerce. It gives that department the ability to extend that until after the peacetime or the emergency order is lifted.
And it also, I believe, I don't know about the House bill, but I was hearing that there were concerns and actions on updating to real ID in Minnesota, and that's being delayed. I've also heard that it's being said that if your driver's license happens to expire in this particular time, there's going to be a grace period to the end of the order for you to get that renewed.
Yeah, first real ID, that did come out from a federal level. They have extended that a full year. So
right.
We were scheduled to be compliant by the 1st of October of 2020. That got extended to the 1st of October of 2021. So it gives Minnesotans who intend to get the real ID but haven't done so yet, an additional year to do that. That came from the federal government. As for driver's licenses, those have been extended too, so that if your driver's license expires during this order, then you have an extension, I guess you could say, right, for that. Now, what this doesn't apply to, though, is vehicle registrations, because you can still do that over the phone, or by mail, online, I should say, sure, or online.
Yep.
And so you're encouraged to do that. So if your license tabs are expiring, you still need to go through that process to get those.
All right. And then that would also indicate to me that this is more of a commercial matter than a government matter, but I would guess that insurance policies on your vehicle or your home also are not really affected by the order, because you can renew those coverages or pay those premiums online.
Yeah, that's true. And the policies renew automatically on an annual basis anyway, so you can renew your insurance without having to do anything. You just continue to pay your insurance premiums.
Yeah, the earned and unearned premiums.
Right.
I know a little bit about that. Going back really quick, you mentioned the grant for child care workers for essential personnel. Who's going to manage that grant? I'm just curious.
There is a department that is, if you go to if you go to my Facebook page, I have that listed on there, where you can click on the link and you can actually get to the department that's handling that. And that's a first come, first serve grant program. So it starts on April 1st. So I would encourage the daycare providers to get that paperwork started as soon as possible. And the amounts vary depending on how many kids you have, you know, and how mm-hmm. long, you know, if you're meeting those requirements. But all those details are found online.
All right. And is there, I'm sure you mentioned it, but once again, for our listeners, what's the size of that grant that you're hoping to establish?
I believe it is about, I think it's $4,500 or somewhere in there, and per month during this order.
For each individual grantee?
For each grantee, that's right.
Okay. Is there any indication that Minnesota would follow suit with the federal government in I'll just call it a tax rebate? I know that the federal government is right now deliberating a tax rebate for individuals and families, and as far as getting like a tax I'm going to call it a tax return. That's not exactly what it is.
Well, there may be some extensions on when filing is done and when you know
right.
when your tax filing needs to.
Well, that's already good through July 15th.
Here's the difference, though, but we have to keep in mind between the state government and the federal government. The federal government, for one thing, they don't have to have a balanced budget like we do in the state of Minnesota. So we okay. have to make sure that we are balancing mm-hmm. our budget. And the other thing is that the way we can issue debt is differently. The federal government has a little more leeway. And the big thing is they can print money if they right. need to. I mean, they really can, and they can print additional money. And if they need to do that to get the, you know, more money into circulation, into the economy, and of course in the state, we can't do that. Now, that brings us to another issue that I think we talked about this a little bit in the past, but you know, we've talked about the budget surplus, the projected budget surplus.
And being the key word.
Yeah, it's a forecast, it's projected. And just so all of your listeners know, that's gone. You know, that's based on one hand of the balance sheet, just like a business owner would do. That's mm-hmm. the spending. Well, we know our spending is going up
right.
during this crisis.
Yes.
And the other side of it is the revenue coming in, which is sales tax revenue and income tax revenue. Both of those are going to be far down, greatly impacted by this. So any talk that we had early in session of how are we going to spend the budget surplus, that's gone.
Just evaporated.
It'll evaporate. We haven't gotten that official, but just use your common sense. You know mm-hmm. that is going away. We also have $2.5 billion in the rainy day fund, and I expect we'll be using all
dipping
of that as
that,
well.
Yeah.
So it's just in a matter of weeks, the outlook for the state of Minnesota is completely different than it was.
It had an over $3 billion swing from one way to the other.
Or more. It's very possible that when we, at this time next year, we'll be looking at massive deficits rather than, you know, we hope that we can just maybe maintain even or in that ballpark without going into a severe budget deficit, but we just don't know that yet. So one of the things that we need to be doing, and we are doing, is taking a look at discretionary spending. Are there some areas that we can start reducing our spending now, mm-hmm. because we know of the increases in spending in some other areas?
And it's going to take a while for that revenue stream to get back to where it was before. So this may have impacts over a number of years, I would think.
It could. Now, I think that, you know, Minnesota has a strong economy, or had, you know, before this. Just looking around, you see what people are doing, looking out for each other. And I think when we get to the other side of this, I really do believe that our economy will be back up and running, and it will be as strong as ever. It's just going to take some time to get there, but we can do it all working together. We can do it looking out for each other. I mean, we're all seeing examples of that every day, whether it has to do with helping businesses out. A number of the restaurants that are still serving takeout, and people that are going to their favorite restaurant to help them out.
Sure.
So that we want them there on the other side of this when we come out of it. We want to make sure that they're still viable and they're still a successful business, so we're doing what we can to help them out now.
Exactly. We have just about a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that you needed to cover or would like to cover as far as what's going on up at the Capitol in the past week or so?
You know, I just want to continue on that theme and really thank the residents of Hastings and Cottage Grove and this whole area for helping each other out. People that are putting teddy bears in their windows to help, you know, put a smile on kids' faces. We've seen and heard of people that our neighbors are getting together and maintaining social distancing, but they're maybe standing out in the front yard and they're having a happy hour in their neighborhood,
yeah.
or group calisthenics or something like that, anything to help pass the time. That's something that's really, it's great to see. And I think that is a great example of how we're going to get through this together.
In my neighborhood, it's been chalk drawings on the driveway. You know, as people go by and say, hey, happy thoughts or whatever it is. I put one out on mine and said, all right, that's close enough.
Something to put a smile on people's faces. You know, people that have their Christmas lights still up, they're turning them on and lighting them up. And
yeah.
I would encourage people to do that. If you still have the Christmas lights up, or maybe just go hang them back up because it's nice out and you want to get outside, and turn the Christmas lights on. It might put a smile on somebody's face. Think about this. There's still florists in this area that are still open for delivery. Order a plant. Order flowers for a friend or a relative, a neighbor, and have them delivered.
Exactly. We've got, like I say, about a minute left. And once again, just to keep the information out there, I would like to have you give your contact information if people have questions or concerns.
The best way right now is an email, rep.tony.jurgens@house.mn. I do retrieve my voicemails, too, at 651-296-3135.
Excellent. Representative Jurgens, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. We look forward to having you back again next week. You're listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I hope you have a great day.